Well, the Lord is great and greatly to be praised.
Amen.
Those are not just words that God wants our praise. Worship is thanksgiving for everything that He's done. Praise for who He is. He's faithful, He's just, and so on and so forth. And then adoration. So worship is totally consumed by those three words. That we thank Him for what He's done in the past. We praise Him for whom He is still now. And we look forward to the day when we'll be married to Him. And happy is the bride. Happy is the bride who's the wife of the Lamb. So your happiness lies ahead, but you can already start today. And I'm happy all the time. Ever since I met Jesus, or that is, ever since Jesus met me, I've been in love with Him to the death. Physical death, psychological death, it doesn't matter. I'm ready to give up everything for the sake of knowing Him, including my life. We overcome the devil easily by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and because we love not our lives to the death. So, if you don't love your life, then you're free to love your neighbor. If you don't love your life, you're free to love the neighbor. If you still love your life, you'll lose it. But when you become a believer, you're not just allowed to be justified by faith. God wants you then to get rid of all your sins. So He also says He's faithful and just to forgive you for all your sins, but also He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So both of those are works of God, because everything is a work of God. As a matter of fact, God is the only actor in the universe. I hate to tell you that, because you think that your reason and your will and your mind and your emotions, and they count. They don't. I'm sorry. I totally oppose psychology. It's nothing but witchcraft. It's nothing but witchcraft. Galatians 3:1 following. So, who has bewitched you? The fool says in his heart that there's no God, but they're fools. Because there is a God, and He's the only one that acts. The devil doesn't act. The devil is a fool. And he tries to capture as many people as he can. So most people today are rationalists, or they're humanists, or they're Renaissance people, or they imagine that their emotions count. They're psychologists and philosophers and so on and so forth. Philosophy is a vain deceit. So with all the degrees that I have, and I have lots, with all of them, they are worthless because of the Word of God. The Word of God is the only weapon you need to destroy all that man pretends he has done, but he hasn't done anything. Whether you wear 8 hours a day or 1 hour a day, you get the same wage, nothing. So the only reason that he paid them anything was because of the mercy of God. And they all got the same wage. Why? Because it's mercy. So he doesn't care what you've done, what you haven't done. Religion does. We don't care about that. It's not religion. True religion is what God has done for you, not what you've done for God. True religion is not how great you are. How great I am, it's not. True religion is how great God is. Why? Because there's no one like Him. You can't compare Him to anybody. So, there's no condemnation for them which are in Christ Jesus. Why? Who? This is in a positive, APPO. A positive means I'm going to say the same thing I just said. So, since God is our righteousness, you don't have any. He is your righteousness. And He did that in a threefold way. He justifies you, sanctifies you, glorifies you. And otherwise, you would never be perfected. you are being now perfected in love. Most of you are disciples, that is, you want to be trained and taught the Word of God. But one of the things about loving your neighbor is we don't just love neighbors here in our neighborhood. We actually love the whole world. That's why I go to India, China, anywhere in the world to preach the gospel. Why? Because the harvest is ripe and the laborers are few. So pray to the Lord of the harvest, because it's not over. So we have millions and millions of people because of Joel, my brother, my son, in the Lord, because and the way it all started was he was at a conference here. I think it was in Fort Worth. Or was it?
Yes.
Was it in Fort Worth?
Yes.
Okay. And somebody invited him, a member of our church in Dallas, invited him to come to his home, and they came to the home. And then they came to the meeting, and he had lots of other fellows with him, and they decided to go to T.J. Jakes' church. They wanted to see a big, successful American church.
Yeah.
But Joel decided, no, I'm going to stay here because I like this man's teaching. I'm going to stay right here. So after it was over, it was a great blessing. And so we've known each other for 21 years. And he said, I believe God wants me to be with you and hear what you have to say. And he said, I know the gospel. I said, no, you don't. Don't know if he remembers that. You're ignorant. And he said, well, how can you say that? I know the gospel. I was a pastor. I have a church. But I'm going to leave. I said, no, you're not. He said, how can you say that? And I said, don't invite me to your country, because I don't want to go to another African country. And so he said, well, you need to pray about it. I said, I'm not going to pray. I'm just not going. He said, well, then I'll pray for you that you'll go. And so I went. And now it's the greatest place on earth. It's the greatest place. I know I'm exactly where Nimrod was born. You've heard of Nimrod. It's in the Bible. And he was born, and I could explain why I know that, why others, they cannot locate where he was born. And they have called the land of Punt in Egypt, in Egyptian language. Punt, P-U-N-T, is where they came from, but nobody knows where it is. But what they do know is if you were to be a great pharaoh, you had to take a boat trip to your ancestors. And it was a long trip, years. So you had to then make a boat and then sail up in water. And then you had to carry it for a while and so on. So I said, I have an idea where that might be. Because they traded for all kinds of animals that are only in Africa. And apes and so tusks and so on and so forth. Could be from India, but no, these are from Africa because of the way they described it. And so the Pharaoh then would make this arduous trip. I know exactly what these people look like because we have pictures. We have iconography of what they look like. And when Moses then went to, was trying to lead the children out of Egypt, his mother in Egyptian is Hatnefer. She's the only woman that has a gold mask, and she's Jewish. We call her in the Bible Jochebed. And so she's the only one that has this gold mask. Nobody else, no non-Egyptian ever, because she was the mother of Moses. And Moses also has Senenmut. That's his name in Egypt. And so she drew him out of the river and called him Moses, which means I drew him out of the Nile, because she had prayed very hard. This woman's name is the greatest Pharaoh. Awesome what she did as a woman. And she wore a beard, but it was just taped on. Not taped, but it was fastened to her. So she wore it, had straps, and she wore it. Because she knew that the women are stronger than the men. The men die off because of incest, because you always married within the family. And so she did this. And so as Moses grew, when he became about age 40, he had 92 titles, more than any other in all of Egypt. He was the head of the treasury. He was the one that raised her daughter, the tutor. And he had all the titles you could possibly have. And he built two pyramids for his death. One to be a fake pyramid, the other one to be the real thing. Because when you die, you have to leave all of that behind. Anyway, I know all about it because I've read assiduously. And so you can read his name in Egypt, because he would have been Pharaoh. But when he became 40 years old, he realized, you know, instead of being the greatest man in the world, I decide, I'd rather be with the children of Israel and suffer. So he did. So that's where he came from. And I asked Joel one day, and said, Joel, could you find out if the huts that they build in your country or surrounding countries, are they built on stilts? Are they built with high stilts that when it floods, the animals can run under it and they don't get the people and so on and so forth to be safe? And he didn't answer, but I knew from study he is from this area, and so they don't have the archaeology on it. I don't know that they do a lot of archaeology there, but if you would dig deep enough. I know that there is such a thing around the world, but I know that there they had that because they talked about that, and we have pictures of it all. So I wanted that. This is Hatshepsut. Hatshepsut. And I told you that when the mother of Moses, remember Miriam was in the water, and she said, hey, do you need a Hebrew nurse? Because she immediately, when she came down to the river, this is the daughter of Pharaoh, King Tut the First. King Tut the First, 1500 BC. And then she realized, I need to have somebody that could take care of this child for a while, because he's a baby. He's just a little baby. But she said, this is a Hebrew child. And as she opened up the basket, the baby cried. And her heart went out to the baby. Said, I'm going to adopt this baby, because I married my brother, King Tut the Second, and he's dead already. So I need to pray to the God of the Nile to bring me a child. This is the child. He came right from the Nile. So immediately she adopted him. But before that, she said to his mother, I want you to come wean this child. And when he's 5 years old, bring him to the palace, and you will live here and also be his mother, and I will also be his mother. But I will adopt him, and so no one can touch him. So he would have been the Pharaoh. Imagine, as a Christian, you could be the king of the world or the emperor or whatever, but at the same time, you chose to suffer for Jesus. That's a Christian. That's a Christian. Unless we suffer with him, we will not be glorified with him. Unless you suffer with him, you'll not be glorified with him. Do you all understand what I'm saying? Suffering is not suffering. Suffering in the Bible is a different word. It doesn't mean being poor and needy. Actually, suffering means you see heaven, but when you look on the earth, you don't see heaven. So suffering is not suffering. It just simply means Jesus came down and suffered his whole life because he saw heaven and he did not see heaven on earth. But he discipled his people, his men. He discipled them, which is exactly what I do all over the earth. Wherever I go, I'm going to disciple men until they become dead. When they're dead, I'm a man killer. I love that job. But you have to be bold, because some of these men are 6 foot, 7 foot. These are tall people. But you have to have authority to what you do. You have to be called to be someone that's going to mentor. You can't be a young child. You cannot be a young man. You have to be a mature father in the Lord and tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Do they like it? No, they hate it. They hate it. And I love to be hated. Why? Because I know sooner or later, the teaching will conquer them. And the teaching is that let God be true, but every man a sinner. Did you know that God is true and you're a sinner? You're still a sinner. You're a sinner. Amen? But God wants you to be a saint. So he makes it real easy. All you have to do is simply hear God's words and be a believer, and he counts that as righteous. To him that worketh not, but believeth. To him that worketh not under the law. You're not pleasing God. You're letting God show mercy toward you. To him that believeth not, but believeth that God loves the ungodly. You can't. You have to. If you're a Christian, you have to be ungodly. Everybody here ungodly? That's how you become a Christian. That's your. The only thing you need to have is to make sure you're ungodly. Because I did not come, he said, for the righteous. I came for sinners who repent. Comfort yourself. Comfort in Hebrew is nacham, N-A-C-H-A-M. And it means tell Israel that her warfare is over, that her sins have been forgiven, that it's all over. And fold the paper over. That is, whatever is on your cell, fold that over, because your kinsman redeemer has now redeemed you and you're free. Walk out. So, only the truth of God sets you free. I was once in bondage. I'm no longer in bondage. Why? Because the truth hath set us free. And the truth is that Jesus loves you, and you're the apple of his eye. You're the one he adores. Unconditional love. We didn't have that on earth. God has taught us that. Have unconditional love. That's why I go to Uganda, and I probably will go next spring, to teach, and not to teach like something they don't know, but to reinforce what he's teaching. And so it's just simply in the Bible, whatever's in the Bible. I read Greek every day. I read Hebrew every day. I read Latin every day, every single day without exception, 5 hours at least. Why? Because you learn a lot about church history. You learn a lot about the New Testament. You learn a lot when you read the Bible in the original. If I were to learn Latin and teach out of it, you would say something like this. Justitia tua libera me. The justice of God, his kind of justice, liberates me. Justitia tua libera me. So once you meet Jesus, you're free. I'm liberated. And so we see Africans liberated from poverty, from false religions, from idols, from the girls were raped in his school, a lot of them. And a lot of the boys had to shoot their parents, drugged up, shoot their parents so they couldn't go back. And so they come through great trials and tribulations. But once they're free, they never turn back. Once they're free. So we want to hear what Joel says today about what has been happening in the last 21 years and what is taking place there, and he's going to give you the good news. Joel.
If you hear something I don't pronounce well, you just bear with me and pray for me. I'm trying my best to nourish my English, and I believe one time I'll be able to speak like you guys. But, in fact, one time when I was coming here, one of my daughters said, "Daddy, how are you going to speak to Americans?" And I said, "What do you mean exactly?" And she spoke, she whispered, I said, "What's that bad English?" I said, "Don't mind, the Holy Spirit will help us, will help me." But anyway, we are seeing the hand of God in our country. And I'm so happy to be there this time to witness what the Lord is doing in that country and the continent at large. Because we are not preaching the gospel in Uganda only, but we travel different countries. In Uganda, I was in Botswana, in Hebron, their capital city, and I was in Kenya, in Tanzania, in Congo, and Rwanda, and many other surrounded countries. But what God is doing is really very encouraging. Africa used to be called a dark country, but I'm here to tell you that Africa is shouting for joy because Jesus is becoming the deliverer of life in that country. Yeah. We are no longer the same again. We are no longer voodoo worshippers and evil spirits and demons, and because Jesus is really touching many people and is setting us free. What Pastor Jim said, actually I came here, it has been 21 years when I came to see him, but I'm so happy. Ever since I met him and Edco, things changed in a way I can't explain, because I was really struggling in many areas. I was like someone doing guesswork, everything just guessing. You don't know what will come out. But actually, I thank God, because ever since I met Pastor Jim and Eddie Cohen, so everything changed for better. From my home, my home. Sarah, she's one of the happiest lady now, because God changed my life. And she eventually got the money she was looking for. And even my children and my fellow brothers in Uganda, our family, our home changed completely, and our ministry and everything we are doing in Uganda. And our church now has birthed 37 churches around the country in different areas, interior areas and other towns. And not only that, we are having a radio program towards the married couples every week. And this radio, we reach thousands of people. And we always teach the teachings we get from Pastor Jim and Eddie Cohen. We are seeing many families changing for better. In fact, our church, I was talking to them this morning, that for the last 20 years, there is no divorce. And every year, young men, they get married. There is no divorce because people, they are discipled and they are taught how to be husbands and fathers and priests in their homes. So, and we also have recently, we are given a free airtime on Lighthouse TV, which actually reach many, many people, not only now in Uganda, but also in some parts of East and Central Africa. And we have a fellowship of born-again Pentecostal churches in Uganda, which is now consisted with 47,000 churches, and I'm one of the 24 elders to that fellowship. So I'm very, 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 very excited to see the changes, because I was there during the dictatorship regimes when the gospel was prohibited to be preached in Uganda, and I saw the devastation and the sufferings, and actually Uganda was in the mess. We are like that good the guy who fell in the hands of the robbers, and they beat him and what, until the good Samaritan came for his rescue. I tell you now, God is changing Uganda for better. And we are like resurrecting from the dead. And we are standing there for the cause of the gospel, believing that our country will never go back to the pit. But I thank God for Pastor Jim and the team that usually come and visit us. And when he said he's coming back in spring, I've not told him, because that's what I came to find out, whether he can come back again. We didn't actually have them this year, but I said, no way, next year we have to have Pastor Jim and the team back to Uganda. And I give you all the special invitation. If you can all come, we have room for you in Uganda. But anyway, we are happy for that, because all the time they come to our country, they give a very big impact to the body of Christ. And Pastor Jim now is a father of many pastors, not only me, but many others, and the families. They always, married couples, they are always rejoicing and waiting for him to come. And in fact, my wife, one of her best friends in the gospel is Pastor Jim. It's Pastor Jim. I remember there is always what she reminds me from the teachings that Pastor Jim gave us in Uganda. She says that when Jesus was on the cross, he took all the burdens, and we take the blessings. And he says, the husband in the family, you take all the burdens, and the wives and children take the blessings. We didn't want to hear that at the beginning, but actually we realized that that is the truth. The truth that someone has to swallow if you want to see changes in his family, in his home, changes for better. And on top of that, we are also taking care of children. We don't call them orphans, we call them champions for Christ. We are having 775 now so far. And we are operating on four different locations. And the main campus is consisted with over 400 kids. And the rest, they are in three locations. And we have many who have already graduated from college. And they are actually serving God in our country. And some of them, they have come back. And serve their fellow champions in a wonderful, wonderful way. I think I told you the last time I was here that Dennis is now our ministry administrator, and he graduated from university and he came back. He's doing an incredible work. I mean, when he came back, the ministry flourished. And I wonder how God is using this young man. We have a clinic, and the doctor now who is working in our clinic is our champion, whom we got when he was 3 months. But now he's a doctor doing an incredible work serving in our medical clinic that serves six different communities around, and more especially serving his fellow champions. Because the way we started this clinic, we started it at a sick bay, a small room at the campus at Champions Home. And my daughter, Olivia, she was the one doing the work alone there. I mean, she was a teacher as well as a nurse. But as time went on, God blessed us with Paul, who was actually and is a very smart young man. So now he's the one. Pastor Jim came with a team, and they bought a building for us. And that small building, that's where actually we are, not a small building, it's a pretty good size building. That's where we are learning the serving God in that area. And we used to spend a lot of money when the children get sick. But I tell you what, with this project now, we are charging people some little money around the community, and the money we get from them is enough to pay the nurses and doctor, as well as buying more medicine to keep the project running. And now our champions, they are almost being treated for free. So God worked out the way we can't even explain. And now we are doing the extension. We are building the maternity ward building, because we realize that that is a very big need in the area. Many people, they requested us to start that, but we are neglecting. We were not actually ready. Not until we started witnessing people dying when they are going looking for medical or places where they can go delivering their babies. In fact, we witnessed three of them dying because of the long distance, and they didn't make it there. That was a confirmation that God wanted us to start that. And we are thanking God that now it is already on a level where we are trying to put on the roof. And we are so grateful, because that one is going also to help us and to help the people in the area. And I am here to thank you so much for your support. Thank you for praying for us. And thank you for supporting us financially. And more than that, for taking your time to come and visit us and preach and inspire and impact the body of Christ in our country. The last time I was here, we were actually looking for a tractor, because we wanted to get enough food, because Uganda is the food basket to the region. It's a very fertile and a tropical area, so you can grow your own food. So with your help, we bought the land, and we had 42 acres, but now we have added on more 10 acres where we have grown corn in that 10 acres. But I came here with that need of the tractor, and I thank God, because Pastor Jim ran here and there and there and here, and we are able to get more than $10,000, and God provided more on top of that, and now we have the tractor, which costed $33,000. That was a big thing to us, and it has improved the standard of our school and home, because with the 10 acres we have grown, we are really seeing that is very, very, very good. And on top of that, this time when I came, Pastor Jim, we needed another 10 acres, which is just close to other things we have. Thank God we have the money now for the other 10 acres. And with the 20 acres, we see that in the area of food, we shall never be in lack of food forever. And for information, there are some brothers who came from Miami, Oklahoma. They came and built their silos. And it is amazing the way God is doing it. Here is the tractor, and here's the cornfields and silos where we are going to be storing our corn, which is a wonderful, wonderful project, and God is using people in a different way. The brother is called DJ Tucker. He said, "I feel so strongly to come and build silos for you." I said, "Come on, don't delay. You have to do what God has put on your heart." So he came at the right time. This first harvest we are going to have, we have somewhere to store our corn. And the way God orchestrated, the way God did it, is quite amazing. And the 10 acres and another 10 acres, I really thank God for what he's doing for us. Because we started, we didn't know how things were going to work. It was just something we had to do. We had to take step and take care of these kids. Because some parents died in the church some years ago, like 15 years ago, 16 years ago. And they had nowhere to go, nobody helping them. We thought that we are going to take care of like maybe 20. But the number went on to 50. And then when we had 100, I said, "Lord, no more kids. This is enough and it's more than enough. No more kids. Whatever it takes, I'll never add on any more kid here." But I tell you, I think, I don't know whether I told you this. One lady came, and her husband had died like 3.5 years ago. And she came with her daughter. And she said, "Pastor Joel, this is your daughter. God told me to bring this kid to you. You are the father." She wasn't a believer. And I said, "What? God told you?" I said, "Okay, mom, we are going to let your kid attend classes, but she will not be listed among the champions, not until God speaks to me." Said, "Okay." She went back home. 4 days later, she died. I didn't want even to inquire from the Lord. I just said, "Lord, this is my daughter. She's now in her 11th grade so far." And some cases like that, similar cases like that, started happening. Until now, we have 775 kids. But what I want to tell you, our kids, they have never gone without food. Feeding 750 kids 3 meals a day, that is big money. But I wonder how God provides. He's a father to the orphans and a husband to the widows. And we are giving them education from kindergarten now to grade 7. After that level, we send them to other boarding schools until some of them make it to university. But God has been providing for our champions. So far, we have 36 that have gone through college, and they are by themselves. He talked about those who were abused sexually in the northern part of Uganda, and those who killed their parents. And I tell you, God is changing everybody, and God is changing Uganda for better. Jennifer is one of those who are actually sexually abused. But anyway, when I told her about the story of Joseph to forgive those committed sin against her, she said, no, Daddy, I will never do that. Never say that. I will never. I said, okay. Made a very simple prayer and we left the place. 1 month later, she called me and said, Dad, do you have a minute? Can I talk to you? So we went to the prayer garden and she said, you told me about the story of Joseph, how he forgave his brothers. And when they came looking for food instead of revenging, he provided what they needed. That message never came out of here, even my heart. The reason why I called you, I now I'm ready to forgive those people. I'm ready. I want you to pray for me. Jennifer changed it forever. She used to be a low learner, a slow learner in the class, but she turned up to be one of the best student in class. Now she graduated. She went back to the northern Uganda, and she's learning a saloon. She specialized in cosmetology. She's now learning a saloon. And my point is this. Now, every time she leads somebody to Christ, she calls me and says, Daddy, I'm Joseph. I'm Joseph. I'm Joseph. So I really get excited when I hear that she's doing the work of God and she's leading many people to Christ because she forgave. She accepted Christ and forgave those people who sinned against her. But anyway, briefly, that's what we are doing, and we are seeing the hand of God, and we believe that the future of Uganda is in the lives of these kids. When you see how they love one another and love God, because as I told you, in Uganda we have what we call tribalism. Let me say in Africa, all the civil wars you hear in Africa, the bottom line is tribalism. Some people, when they see us having the same color, they think that we are like this. But I tell you, we are killing each other because of tribalism. The spirit of Cain is still going all over Africa. But we bring these kids from different parts of Uganda, different tribes, different language and culture. Now, as they grow up, they are not growing up like us. For us, we hated other tribes for no reasons. But for them, they are growing love one another. Instead of having enemies around the country, they are growing up having friends that coming from different areas of the country. And when you see how they love the Lord, when they find them in the prayer garden praying, you can't believe they are young kids. In fact, whenever we have a big need, we always gather with them together and we go into prayer garden and pray. We have seen so many miracles, how God intervenes and get us through that situation. Very much so. Sometimes food, sometimes other challenges, as you know. When you are serving God, of course you are going to face challenges which sometimes you feel like giving up. But I tell you, God has been so good to us because every time he surprises us and he gets us through different situations. I'll give you an example. We needed food one time and we prayed. God spoke to someone in West Virginia. This guy is a young man of 46 years. And he was praying and he was saying that, God, I'm tired of running away from you. Send me anywhere you want, anytime, anyhow. Then he saw the vision of the cross and so many kids underneath the cross. And the voice told him, go and find those kids in Uganda. So this guy talked to his fellows and his pastor, and he said, I have to go. I don't have any money, but I have to go. I don't have any contact there, but I have to go to Uganda. But anyway, long story short, the church raised $2 extra of the money he needed for the air for his air ticket. And not only that, he was going to fly and go anywhere in Uganda, but there was a lady called Linda Makate. She was once in our country, and she visited us. So God made it that he met this lady, and I mean the wife of his pastor called Linda, and he said, I understand you have ever been in Uganda. We are troubled here. This young man just want to go anyhow. So Linda came and gave him my email. He emailed me and he said, I'm coming this month. And I said, wow, that is quick. And he said, I have to do it quickly because my work is greenhouses. This is the only time I have. I have to come because God sent me there. So he came. I think you see me at the airport holding a paper where his name was written. I didn't know who I didn't know who is coming, and he didn't know whom he's going to meet at the airport. But this guy, long story short, he came, and he found the champions praying. We went together with him in the prayer garden. So he realized later that the prayer garden was made in the form of the cross. That came back to his mind, and he said, this is the exact place where God sent me. He cried the whole day. But we had some kids sick in the hospital. Many, many, many were admitted. Something wrong happened that time. I didn't know how we were going to go through this situation. This guy, he paid everything. Not only that, but he worked with us for a week, planting grass in our soccer field every day from morning to doom. And he was not eating lunch. He was just having a bottle of water in his hands until we finished planting that grass in the soccer field. And he bought us. He called home and he said, I don't have money, but help me here. They sent him some money in different days. He was able to buy 450 pair of shoes to those who didn't have shoes. And he bought 3 portable copier machines. And not only that, but they sent him some money that helped us to feed the kids for 3 months and some extra money to grow more food on our land. That is God. God. Yesterday I was with Pastor Jim. We went to this man of God. And Pastor Jim told him about the land we are buying, the money we needed. And the guy just called his wife and he bring me a check. Signed a check for me and signed a check of $6,000 right there. But my point is this. I don't know whether you remember this, Pastor Jim. His wife told him that you remember 2 days ago you prayed that God bring people to us so that you may help them. Remember that. Remember that. When I heard that, I said, Lord, thank you for doing your work. You are the only God doing it. So God is so good. I came with a very brief, and it was not well recorded and edited because our brother who always does that, he wasn't there. He was not in the country. So when you see it, I just said, okay, there was a little bit of what is going on there. And I think even here we can get the volume can't be there, but I think I will explain a little bit. And then for you to see what is going on, especially the tractor. That is Sarah. She has been a blessing to me for the last 38 years. And she is my co-worker. and my friend, and a friend indeed. So I'm so proud of her, and I will keep Sarah forever until Jesus comes back. No, I think he said this.
So I can fast forward it if you want.
Sure. Yes, you can forward it. Okay, that is the 10 acres, and that is the tractor. The new John Deere 5075 horsepower. And that is like 2 months ago, because it's now we are expecting to harvest in December, by the end of December. Can forward that one too. We have seen that. That was a repetition, Alex. Can forward that. Those are the kids where I was born. Pastor Jim knows the history of that community. Nothing but voodoo and all kinds of sorts of evil. But now God is changing. We have a church there and a building or build and a clinic, as well as that school of 153 kids. So we are really thank God for that. Anyway, when we go interior areas, we raise some funds and buy bicycles to some of the pastors there, because the bicycle in Uganda costs $100. So those are the main. Those are the recent conference we had in Jinja, with almost more 1,002 men attended that conference. So I was blessed to speak. I enjoyed speaking to those men. And you can't believe how many people. That is the extension of the clinic. And that is the doctor, our son. So we are working on the roof, because when it rains, those bricks are not strong enough to stand the rain. And I will believe that God will help us to get that done. Yeah, that's good. That is now Dennis, one of the first champions, who came back and is our administrator. The building you see further, that is a clinic that we have just put in place. There's a church on this side and buildings of the school, which is not in camera. You can forward. We don't have time. We have built the teacher's quarter there. Now Dennis was talking about the restroom, the toilet we need to put up in place there. That's what he was trying to. But the building is 8 rooms, and so far now they're still staying in my mom's house, which is not a good thing. That is now the main campus. He's talking about our future plan, that 2020 we are going to add on 4 other levels. That is 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, and 12th grade. Because when we take our kids, when they are 13, to other boarding schools, they find a big peer pressure. We need to stay with them for another 4 years until they turn 17 or 18 to gain muscles to stand for them, for themselves. So that's where actually we are going to put up that building. But the plan is 2020. Yeah, can forward. Yeah, actually, those are the pillars we have started. Yeah. Well, I think that is just the little bit. We didn't show you the boreholes that God provided us and chickens. And we have 60 hogs that we are raising and cows. We get milk and eggs to feed our kids in Uganda. Somebody to get an egg and a milk in his breakfast and a toast of bread, that's a big, big thing. Many people, they get that on Christmas and other big days. But our children, we have milk and we have eggs, and always God helps us to feed them 3 meals a day, which is very, very important. I believe the time is really bad. I just want to read one scripture, and maybe I'll turn over to Pastor Jim. This is in Colossians. If you don't mind, you can open in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. I'm reading verse 20. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 23, I'm sorry. Sorry. I'm reading verse 23. It says whatever you do, let me begin with 17. And whatever you do, whether in words or deeds, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father through him. Then verse 33 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism or respect of persons. I just want to give you this one principle, which I always give to many people in Uganda, especially men. When we are born again, when we are saved, the Bible says in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5:17, that whosoever is in Christ Jesus is a new creation. Old things passes away. Behold, everything becomes new. This is what I believe, that when we are saved and born again, we are no longer live by ourselves. We are living for the purposes of the kingdom of God. The Bible says that even the life we have is not our old life, but the new life we have it in believing the Son of God. In the scripture that we have just read, it compels us or talk to us that whatever you intend to touch your hand, whatever you try to do, never do it as serving people or human masters, but as serving God. I believe I don't have to tell this to Emmanuel Church, because you always get wonderful teaching from Pastor Jim and others who are speaking here. We are stewards of God. We belong to God, and we are stewards of God. Everything belongs to God. And we are here for God and God's purposes in this world. And we are the apple of the hand of God in this world. Bible said that whatever we intend to do, we have to be converted in our mind and never to think that we are serving human beings or human masters in this world. We are serving God. Every day when I wake up in the morning, I just thank God for the privilege and the work that has been set before me to accomplish all the assignments of the day, or the assignments of that day, because I'm ready to serve God. I don't mind whether I have my boss. Yes, there's that boss. But on top of that, I'm serving God, whatever I do. Whatever we do is ministry. Whatever we do every day as children of God is ministry. Building houses, driving buses, go for war and fight for our nations and protecting our nations. Everything, every calling, every work we do, we are serving God. In fact, long time ago, in the Bible days, we have examples in the Bible, like this guy called Joseph. Joseph, he's a young man that was betrayed by his brother and sold to Egypt as a slave. But when he reached there, what really impresses my heart, this young man, he never served Potiphar. When he was in Potiphar's house, he was there serving God. And the Bible says that whatever he touched on his hand, God blessed Joseph. He didn't bless Pharaoh, though the blessings was going to Potiphar. But he blesses this young man who knew that he's not just serving human masters, but he's serving God. You can ask me a question. How do you know? Because when bad times came, remember, the master's husband wanted to sleep with this young man. But this young man was bold enough to express or to explain what he is. He said, "I can't do such a bad thing to my master. You are his wife." He left everything in my hands, and I'm a boss of everybody except you, because you are his wife. But on top of that, I can't sin against my God. That is the area where I knew that Joseph, when he left the house of his father Jacob, he went in slavery knowing his God and knowing his master. Though he was a slave, he never acted as a slave, but he acted as someone who knows his God. And he was there serving God. Long story short, it was God who promoted this young man, who blessed this young man. Though he faced challenges, God was there always to help this young man. You remember what happened when Potiphar's wife spoke lies against this young boy, and he ended up in jail. The Bible says that even in jail, God was with him. Why? Even in jail, he was there not serving men, but he knew and discovered this mystery that I'm here every day to serve my God. And God eventually promoted him, and he saw his dream becoming a reality. You know, God gave him this dream when he was a reader, somebody who was going to be used tremendously to save not Egypt, from famine. But to save the whole world, he saw that dream some years back. But this time the dream became a reality. The Bible said, if you are here, don't never think that you are serving men. In fact, somewhere in the Bible, it says that trusting and serving men is putting yourself in bondage. But serving God, always, there is peace, there is freedom, there is promotion, there is where God always going to fight for you. God is always going to fight for you. 2 Samuel chapter 3, beginning from verse 1. There is a story of David and Saul. I don't have time to go in details. But as you know, God had chosen David to be the king. And when Saul discovered that, Saul was trying his best to kill David. But God was always there for his rescue. This is what I always tell people. In the hands of Saul, there was a spear. But in the hands of David, there was a music instrument. Praising God. Healing people. Anointed. The Bible says that whenever the evil spirit possessed Saul, David was there praising God and playing this instrument, giving praises to God. As you know, the Bible says that God always inhabits the praises of his people. God always came down and delivered Saul from that spirit that used to torment him. But in the hands of Saul, there was just a spear in his hands to finish. But in the hands of David, there was this music instrument to bless people. In other words, David was serving God among people. He was connected to the heavenly realm. He was anointed, and he was here in this world not for death, but for life, for deliverance, for serving. And he served God. And God was always there for his rescue. Any time and many times that Saul tried to finish his life. This is my point here. That when we are serving God, God is there for our rescue. Not only to bless us, but even to protect us from all the challenges and all the dangers that comes in our way as we serve him every day. I'm a true witness of this in our ministry in Uganda. Serving God in Uganda was not easy at all. There are times when we used to go out to preach the gospel, and you never know whether you are coming back. I remember one of our leader challenged us one time, and he said, when I read the Bible, I see go and preach the gospel. I don't see anywhere where it says that come back. So when we go and we don't come back, it will be an elevator to heaven. So we used to go, never think of what is next. But God was already there for our rescue. I've seen God helping us in many challenges as we are taking care of the kids. Challenges within and the challenges that comes from outside. God has been delivering us. Do you know why? We are not serving people. We are serving God. And God is always there for our rescue, to provide, to guide, to protect, and to encourage and to strengthen you. We have seen all aspects of miracles taking place. I always tell my brothers that I've seen all kind of miracles. God using this my hands here. Only one miracle is to raise the dead. But I believe before I leave this world, I'm going to see that happening too. But I've seen miracles. But the more you serve God, the more challenges, the more enemy. When you do that, you can be my witness. You people who are working, challenges are the place of your work. The more you continue doing your work, the more challenges Satan and other people try to come against you. But let me tell you today, I want you to take this secret and this ministry. You are there not serving people. You are serving God. I always tell my fellow brothers in the church that you always come and you ask us to pray for you for a job so that God may provide you a job. God who provides the job is the one who is going to maintain you and maintain your work. So when you get the job, many men, when they get blessed, they get the job and blessed, they forget about God. They forget church. They forget to worship. But let me tell you something. When we are doing any kind and any aspect of work every day, we are here for God's purposes. Let us not do it as serving men to be in bondage, but let us do it thanking God who provides us the work to do. Because I know that working is not a curse. Working is a blessing. But in fact, working didn't come after the fall. It was before the fall. It's part of the blessings. God wants us to be active and develop this world, more especially his kingdom in this world. So whatever you do, make sure and know for sure that you are not serving men, but you are serving people. I mean, you are serving God. I've seen that the way God promoted Joseph from nothing, from being a slave to second in command in Egypt. I've seen the same God doing that in my life. Being one of the 24 elders to 47,000 churches, you can't believe Joel was just a mere carpenter. Someone who was doing, specialized in making sofa sets and furniture. I did that for a long, long, long time. But you know what happened? I changed my business. Instead of serving people, I started doing it as serving God. From that moment, God started to promote, to open up doors, until finally called me in full-time ministry. And even in the ministry, I've seen so many enemies, like Saul, having spears in their hands to finish me. But I tell you what, God has been there for my rescue, and even to take me forward. When they read the scripture in Second Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says that tough times came in the house of Saul and the house of David. But the Bible says that the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker and weaker. But the house of David waxed stronger and stronger and stronger. Now, my question is this. What do you have in your hand? Do you have jealous of others or of what God is doing in someone's life, those others? Or you are there to bless, to promote, to pray for others, to look for their better, and to serve God in praising and worship, because that is the purpose of living. God is seeking those true worshipers that will worship him regularly, in good time, and more especially in bad time. Bad time, worship God. That's what David did, and God was always on his side to bless him and give him a future. And hope and future. I believe, brothers, when we join the church, when we come to Christ, we come to the base of everything. We come to the Father who has everything. That is our original. When we are connected with God, it's advisable to utilize the opportunity and serving Him with a pure heart, because it's the one who rewards people, it's the one who promotes, it's the one who guides. I don't know what will happen to you 10 years from now, but God knows exactly what He has. And the Bible says that He has a very good plan, not a plan to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. There's challenges in life. That doesn't mean that God is not there with you. In fact, when as I wind up, yesterday we were talking with Pastor Jim, and he mentioned something profound which touched my heart. He said that he doesn't fear crisis and problems, because out of problems and crisis, that's where you are going to see your God. Church, in problems and difficulties and challenges different situations, that's when you usually see your God. If actually I start telling you the challenges and the way the enemy always comes up with the storm, and even the way the Holy Spirit lift up the standard, and we win, I believe with you, Pastor, though there are challenges in the world, but the challenges, they are just the steps for us from glory to glory, from power to power, and from victory to victory. Let us serve God with a pure heart, and God has the reward in His hands to reward each one of us. Thank you so much. God bless you.